On the show today, we have Anticom's very own Stacy Zuniga talking about improving and expanding member contact channels and voice banking and video. This is where it's all going, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Anticom's very own Stacy Zuniga. Stacy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you?
Doing all right. Yeah, before the recording, we were talking about our matching weather, because San Diego and Austin are actually almost the same temperature.
In the 90s right now. It's crazy.
90 these days. My gosh. What's going on here?
Absolutely. It's already getting hot. It's terrible.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, as we open up post-COVID, things are getting hot already. And speaking of hot, some of the new member contact channels that we're going to be talking about today, voice banking, video, obviously what we're doing here, super hot. So I want to start out with, obviously for the last 3 months, we've been cooped up and actually people have been kind of forced to do digital, forced to do this. And consumers in general have learned how to communicate with this type of new channel with their financial institutions. But is there an issue that's cropping up here with financial institutions, credit unions in this case, with this type of communication or banking via video or banking via voice? Are we still kind of in the infancy?
Being in the infancy itself, right? It's getting thrown into the deep end of the pool with COVID kind of identifies the issues you have. Infants don't swim too well in the deep end of the pool. It's a bad analogy, but it's true. The reality is you get thrown in this situation and everyone at home, it's like I've always said, and we've talked about this before, finance institutions don't get to choose the channels that users use. The users will tell you what channels they are going to use, and that's what you're going to do.
Right.
We've been in the voice business for years. IVR, for example, voice banking on the phone. You would think every institution is looking at how do we get rid of that? No one uses that anymore. The reality is it's a large percentage of the channel that people communicate with. Anytime there's anything wrong with their accounts, anytime there's anything to look into, they will call that 800 number and they will get to this automated system and self-service or go to somebody live, which is way more expensive and takes a lot of resources, right? Mm-hmm. Especially for small institutions. And now with these new channels, and COVID, they're realizing, and users are realizing, I can't go to the branch. I have to get online. I have to use mobile. I have to use the IVR. And now with my family, here's video via Zoom and it's so much so that you see ads for all the other manufacturers, whether it's Microsoft Teams or Skype HD or whatever it is. That's how much of an explosion there was. And right now, that creates some issues for financial institutions. One, for security reasons, first of all. Secondly, it's not within their what I would call the digital walls of the institution. For example, we already have enough issues with people, what they call Zoom bombing, which it's a pretty aggressive term. But basically, people coming in and coming in Zoom sessions creating issues because the passwords weren't there or the waiting room wasn't default on, things like that, that everyone's been pointing at the technology. The reality is the technology already was enabled with that, but people just weren't using it correctly. I go back to the story I always tell. The technology for security using your debit card is always there, but my grandmother would write her PIN number on a post-it note and wrap it around their debit card in her purse. That's people not using it correctly, right?
Yeah.
So the more channels you provide, whether it's video, and I only use Zoom because that's what we're using right now. Whether it's video, conversational, whether it's multiple channels with using AI and Alexa or Google Home or even intelligent ATMs, whatever. The more channels you have, the more convenience you can make things. Usually, the less secure or the more gaps there are for security issues, and we see that with Zoom today. Mm-hmm. When it comes to video for financial institutions, for example, I'll just use that as an example. It really needs to be baked into the financial institution's existing experience. So it's within the digital walls of that institution.
Right.
You have a mobile app, do some of the technology that puts that, and there's multiple providers that do that. And we're looking at different providers to actually package that into our solutions that do that, where you can have video within the application, right? Video within your own website, right? Not going outside the channel, because you have to be able to secure these channels. And to that end, what we do is we look at things like biometrics, voice biometrics and things of that nature to secure voice channels, right? Because this, and I'm going on a little while here, but when it comes to convenience and security, thanks to voice and other biometrics, this is the first time, Michael, that we're in history where those things actually converge. Usually it's the more convenient something is, like I just talked about, more channels, more convenient, the less secure it is because there's more holes in it, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time they're actually converging. So I can be on a voice channel, use biometrics, and you know whether it's I'm calling the call center and it's first, you know, someone's trying to social engineer the call center, social engineer them, or if I'm on my device or I'm online, I can use voice. You know, it's the human being that's got the right to do those things, not just someone who stole my information. So that's a long roundabout answer of talking about what the issues are. And I think some of them can be addressed today and some of them are going to be addressed in the next, you know, probably 18, 24 months.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Like for instance, how secure is this? Because you only have, I provided the link to you, so you only have that link. So is that considered a pretty secure connection, I guess? Or are people able to hack into it and access the call if there was any type of confidential information going back and forth, like my account number or whatever, that type of stuff? Or
Right. That's another thing, too. So between us, person to person is secure because we have a password and we have a dedicated link between us, right, through the system.
Right.
But outside of that, you emailed it to me.
Right.
Right. And if someone hacked my email, they could get that information. Now, my email is pretty secure, right? It's always, where is the weakest link, right? Yeah. Where is the weakest link?
Yeah.
In my grandmother's case, it's my grandmother because she writes it on a post-it note that's around her debit card. If it's the email, it's someone leaving their email open, someone getting into it, or someone hacking it somehow to get that information, just like you'd hack anything else.
Right.
But primarily, we're pretty secure here, except when you start doing things that are a little more advanced. So I want to share things with you. I want to send you a file. I want to send you a document. I want to share, I want to sign something and send it to you, right? There's ways to deal with that that are more advanced where it's digital only. It's like, okay, I've got a digital thing. We share a screen on my phone while we're talking here, and you send it to me. It's like, oh, yeah, I see that, and I sign it digitally, and it goes back to you. That's fairly secure. You start doing things because you provided me the thing to do. You provided it to me digitally, and I signed it like you asked me to, and it goes back to you. We know where the source is and all that. We start doing things like, I'm going to send you a PDF that I did on my computer and send it to you in this. It doesn't matter what channel it is, and send it to you. I did it on Adobe or Acrobat or whatever, and I PDF it and sent it to you. The source of that file, where it came from, on the computer it came from, there are some holes there for corrupt files that are corrupt by accident, no fault of my own. They're just, okay, the file's just bad and it causes issues with their system. There's also the possibility of files being shared that way, they're corrupt on purpose, right? There's malware that can be used that way, right? When you don't know where the share is coming from, and that's where you start. Again, it's adding another channel, my own computer with my PDF that I'm sending to you, another endpoint, another channel. When it's in the digital walls of the institution, where the institution provides digital forms for you to sign, the institution sends it to you to digitally sign on your computer and send it back.
Right.
That's different. That's more secure.
Okay. Yeah, I want to get that straight because I think I can see this progressing to where obviously in Zoom and other video platforms, you can share your screen, you can, you know, send links in the chat, all that type of stuff. So it has all the bells and whistles to have a very robust conversation professionally, you know, again, with accounts
and
all that type of stuff, you know, that, you know, regular financial institutions and consumers talk about. And so that would be secure as well. I mean, so, you know, for instance, if I sent you a link via the chat, say, hey, here's a link to, I don't know what, you would send it to me. If you were the credit union or the bank, you would say, hey, here's a link to the PDF or whatever.
Here's a link to the PDF. Here's a link to the form you do. Yeah. That's secure. Sure. Yeah. There's little risk to that being intercepted when you're on a secured link. Right. And again, if you have a dedicated line between you and the end user, it's always about what the end user can bring and put through the system. Just like, I'll say it this way, try to send a large file and a link to someone at the credit union that you've never emailed before and send an email, see what happens. It gets rejected immediately, right? Why? They don't know the source. They don't, you're not a trusted source, all this other stuff, right? Same thing here. If you're a trusted source, there's only certain things you can only go so far as to secure the source. Like, you know, me and I am a credit union member and and you're going to send this to me and send something back. And it's a trusted connection and it's also auditable. But, if you're going to start taking documents from me randomly that are off my computer system, I'm going to send you, you don't know if they're corrupt or not. You don't know if it's something that I got phished on my email and says, hey, by the way, don't forget to send this to your credit union. You forgot to sign this today and it comes from somebody else. And I do that and I send it to you and it can be a corrupt system, a corrupt file with things within it. That's where you start getting the insecure transactions, right? So that's why the communication is great. If it's coming from the credit union to me and back, that's great. Nice. But taking in things randomly from me through these channels might not be so wonderful. But if it's within the credit union's digital walls, like the credit union has a link, or I know I can go to this link and fill this out and you guys can see me do it while I'm on screen with you here. Yeah. Absolutely. Have at it. It's just when you start doing things, I've seen systems where people start doing live chat with users. And then live chat is different than this. You can identify me here, right? Unless someone has a really good system for mimicking my face and doing an avatar that looks live. But you can tell it's me. But in live chat, and I'm just typing to you, authenticated or non-authenticated sessions, even authenticated, what if I have the information about someone's account and I authenticate myself with you and I upload a file to you via chat, how is that secure? Right? Hey, I want to send you this file. Can you look at this for me? I just don't know if I'm doing my stuff right on my 401k. I don't know if I'm doing my stuff right on my IRA. And they just upload it to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's from a chat bot and you don't know if it's really that person. It's different if it's my financial advisor says, hey, Stace, send me your 401k statement. Okay, great. He's got my email. I got his email. My email's already cleared through his system. I sent him my financial statement PDF. You know, it's fairly low risk, right? Unless there's a virus on my computer. But when you're in chatbot in real time, fraud does not stay. I mean, just because they put chips in cards doesn't mean fraud's gone. It just shifted somewhere else, right? It's still there. Account takeover is still real. And heck, I just recently had to get a credit card replaced because somehow somebody got my credit card number. But it's still real. And the more channels there are, the more chances there are for fraud and account takeover. And that's where I say all these technologies. So it's a long way of saying with all these channels coming up that we can get through live chat, chat bots, all these different channels we can get to the credit union with, and even with live people, there's going to be a big boom in more security technologies and companies to secure these channels through, I mean, and the technology already exists. And this is what that's really, it's interesting is that everything we talked about before is what we said, hey, this is what we could do. And wouldn't this be great if? Now it's, wow, it would have been great if we had that during this COVID thing. Because, you know, now I've just talked to a credit union yesterday, $2 billion plus credit union, who said, yeah, our voice system, our IVR, we don't think it's secure. We think it's a liability to us, and so we need to replace it. And we're talking about voice biometrics and all that stuff, what we do. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. We need to replace what we have because we don't think it's secure. And they host it themselves, right? And so it's on-premise systems where anyone who wants to do a denial of service attack on an IVR can do that. So it's completely busy. And so it immediately goes through to a live person and you social engineer saying, I'm sorry, the system's down and you need to give me my information, right? And that's how it happens. And so all these channels create these additional opportunities for fraud and the security, the biometric security, the knowing your typing pattern security, knowing your travel patterns, device triangulation, all these different things are going to come together to provide what we've discussed before, Michael, which is the persistent authenticated session with your financial institution based on everything about you, right? And that's really the only way you're going to be able to 100% know it's the human being, not just someone who's got the information.
Well, and as you're talking, I'm thinking about because of what happened the last 3 months is that we've all been, like you said, we've all taken the plunge in the deep end with this stuff because we had to. And now And now we're going to, and now everyone's kind of used to it. And this is kind of the way things are going to be now. So now all the security stuff has to come with it, right? So
yeah, and
we're using it every day now.
Yeah. And the deep end, which is funny, which is, I said that the first time around, it's kind of a fallacy. We all jumped in the deep end, and there's only a few things we can swim. There's only a few things that are deep enough to swim in the deep end. It's like, okay, Zoom, we can all communicate there. But a lot of our channels right now from a financial institution's perspective turned out to be, wow, I jumped in the deep end, but there wasn't that much water there. Mm-hmm. And you just hit the bottom. Your experience on IVR is not good. Or this crazy guy told me our IVR is a liability to us. Experiences on online is not good. Or there's people want to exchange more information and it's not secure online or not secure in the chat, in the chat system. You know, realizing there's not enough water in those technologies for everyone to jump in the deep end, right? And the only one that had it was Zoom, and even they had issues, right? Or the video conferencing system, they all had issues, but they reacted quickly. And they reacted like a technology company would react. Mm-hmm. They reacted quickly and changed defaults. And what we're gonna find out is, you remember when McDonald's started and they were talking about, how do they, they're dominating the hamburger business and all that. And the reality was they weren't a hamburger business. They're a real estate company.
That's right.
You remember that? And the founder actually turned into a real estate company. And I think a couple of large players are recognizing this and they're branding themselves this way. But I think overall, you're going to see even the community banks and credit unions recognize we are not necessarily just a financial institution. We are a digital technology provider to these users to understand their finances better, right? To access their finances better, understand them better, engage with us better, because we're here to help them with their finances. You know, it's going to be a different way of thinking about credit unions and banks. It's not the brick and mortar, come in, have a relationship, shake my hand, sit down across the table from me. It is how accessible am I, and how accessible is information about your money and understanding your money, how is that accessible to you?
Yep. Through all these digital channels now. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things that that I recognize when it comes to this kind of technology, and of course, I'm biased. We're a voice company, so we think everyone's going to talk to their computers, talk to these things. And I realize if you're a person that goes into the bank to understand advice and get some information from a banker, that's a different level of client interaction. But I realized over the past few months, for credit unions and banks, personal financial management, right? Online, every week I get in there and I spend an hour or two categorizing, make sure things right, understand what my budget is. Hey, talk to my wife. Hey, we spent this much on this category this last week. We need to narrow that down to make up for it for the month, whatever. And that takes time. It's a spreadsheet, right? It's a big spreadsheet. And even though the bank does everything with categorizing, I just take that data and then I have to manipulate it myself. And it takes a certain kind of person to do that. About 10% of us do that. 90% of us don't do that at all. And what's coming out of this whole thing, it's sort of like, universities are doing more online classes. Well, that's what we needed, was more online classes, more accessibility.
Yeah.
Same thing with banks and credit unions. You're gonna have more accessibility to your finances in a way that you've never had it before, in my opinion. So with conversational banking, for example, for me to say, how much did I spend on food in the last 6 months? Can I afford to spend this much more on my vacation savings this month? Those kinds of questions, it's a couple of hours on a spreadsheet and figure it all out, categorization, all that, download my statements, because not everything's tied together necessarily. Is a little difficult. It's something my wife would never do, right? Just like she won't use the universal remote at home. But once we have got Apple TV with the voice remote, oh, she's got total control.
Oh yeah.
Now, nice. For me to say how much did I spend on groceries or food in the last 6 months, how much did I spend in California when I traveled last month? Those are an hour plus process when you're going through transactions. But as easy as I can ask that question, the AI systems and conversational banking systems today can take that categorized data and spit it back at you and show it to you. Show me what I spent on groceries in the last 6 months. List the transactions for me. Those types of things, my wife can engage and my wife can understand that stuff. Mm-hmm. She's not a spreadsheet person. Mm-hmm. she's a very smart person, but she's not a spreadsheet person. She'd say she's not a math person. But the reality is, if you can, it's as easy as asking the question. That's how easy you can have engagement with your finances.
Oh yeah.
And a credit union or a bank that can provide that relationship between you and your money. Mm-hmm. That's an advantage.
Oh, no doubt. And it's, I think it's a have to today.
Yeah.
Because the consumer is going to go somewhere where that is available. And again, we've all been plunged into this new normal that we're all talking about, and this is the way it's going to be. So.
And what's going to happen next time if something like this happens again? It might not be a pandemic. It might be something else that says I can't go to the bank.
Yeah.
And my experience last time was really terrible trying to engage with the bank or credit union. I can't go to the branch. I'm sorry. With the credit union or the bank via these digital channels was not as good as it should have been.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I know some banks and credit unions who completely lost their digital channel 100% from some of the major core providers. And I know that happened for a fact. And what is that experience like? I can't see my balances. I can't get online. I can't get on my mobile. And so what do? You call. And if they have an on-premise system where they did it all themselves, it's not hosted, then you probably got a busy signal because they only have so many phone lines, mm-hmm. right? And that experience is almost desperate because you don't have any visibility into what's there.
That's
right.
Scary. So scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what are they gonna do next time? And I would say that I think what's happening now is that banks and credit unions are taking a serious look at what they have on those channels, taking a serious look at, hey, we can't host this stuff ourselves if it's got capacity issues. We need to have a provider that's in the cloud. We need to have every channel available to the end user. And ironically, because of the volume constraints, it's likely that they could do, if they had Alexa banking with that bank and credit union, they could have gotten through there because it's a digital side that has access to the same data, and it's not your online banking that they were having issues with at the web level. So it's really interesting that I think you'll see that they can help manage the spikes in this communication need from their users, like in the pandemic, if they have more channels for them to go to. Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty straightforward to me.
Yeah. But. Lots of choices for sure. So what are, to kind of wrap this up in a nice bow here, Stacey, what are some next steps here? What are we going to see here in the next 3 months or so? Cause I think these are going to be some really interesting, actually, dare I say it, exciting times for financial services.
Yeah. It is. Financial services is one area right now that is exciting because the demands have been placed on them so much in fintech, the financial technology stuff, because the demands have been placed so much on the credit unions and the banks, and they couldn't meet those demands. And other financial institutions as well, other financial groups, you know, whether it's the workforce commissions around the country, anything that has anything to do with finance and consumers. There's going to be a huge, huge push into revitalizing that. I mean, we always talked about in the U.S., we need to revitalize our infrastructure. Well, in the banking industry, there's some infrastructure that's been ignored for a while, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to point out the same credit union again, saying, hey, we're hosting our own voice banking system. That's not the best way to do it. We're looking for a hosted solution. So what you're going to see in the short term, it's triage, right? Just like anything else.
Yeah.
Where are our gaps that we need to cover right now? Where do we have security holes? Do we have infrastructure holes? We have non-scalable capacity issues somewhere. And so from my perspective, in terms of a voice banking thing, I'm getting a lot of phone calls from folks that need to replace it because they don't have enough infrastructure for it. They realize they couldn't even take the capacity. And then at the same time, they're not as secure or compliant as they should be on the voice banking side. And for us, that's what we really specialize in, is replacing all that. So replacing the things that are not meeting the need that was pretty obvious, right? Then it's expanding and enhancing those digital channels to take on not just what's my balance, but more of conversational pieces where you can add to the conversation as you go. It's dynamic. It's not just like a voice banking or Alexa banking system that's rigid. You put it out there. Okay, great. I can get my balances. I can pay my bills. But what if I have a different question? What if I have, you know, when can I expect to get the check that's on my relief check during this pandemic, right? How many IVRs had that added to their system? Not many.
Oh,
But if you have a conversational AI-based system, whether it's Alexa banking, Google Home, Alexa, you know, the smart speakers, or the AI-enhanced IVR, those things can grow and learn, right, with the questions that are coming in, and it can adapt, and those answers can be put in if they are not already there by the institutions. Hey, this question has popped up a lot. Answer it, and it's in the system, right? And so you're going to see a lot of engagement technologies improve, and you're going to see a lot of, like I said, getting the old stuff that's either broken, capacity issues, or not secure, adding more engagement technologies, whether it's chatbot, right, versus live chat. You have to deflect it because the volumes are so high that you can't have 20 conversations with people via chat. You have it with three as a person who's helping people, yep. Not 20. Right. And so you have to deflect that with chatbots that can answer all these questions. And so there's going to be more deflection technologies in terms of resolving issues without a live person. You're going to see a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that'll help with capacity on every channel. And then you're going to see, after that, you're going to see the security, more security stuff come into play based on behavioral stuff, based on risk of transaction. We have some rules-based systems in there now, but now let me add this, and that is the real-time payments piece, right? So now real-time payments are coming into the picture, right? Whether it's Clearinghouse, Zelle, Venmo into the official structure of the financial institutions, and you only in real-time payments, you only have so much time to grade a transaction on whether it's good or not, or you should be able to do the transaction, right. And not being part of that world. Not being part of real-time payments, to be able to say, I'm going to send Michael an email, money via, and send to his email, and he can click through and get it. Not being part of that ecosystem is not an option moving forward. So real-time payments is a must-have for everybody. Everybody's going to expect it. I expect they'll pay my bills instantly. I expect to be able to instantly in a secure channel between my financial institution and whoever the other person is, mm-hmm. right? And so more security around that, right? Mm-hmm. And more in-flight transaction grading and analysis is across the board to even the smallest institutions. So those are the like the layers of things I think are going to change in the very short term.
And to complement that with conversational banking, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. that's going to be huge. That's going to be super powerful.
Well, it can be. And again, the reason conversational is important in that regard is you can do it easily with your voice. You can request mm-hmm. it easy with your voice, and you can secure it with your voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can say that is Michael. He does want to send the money. It's 99.995% that human being, right? And that matters. I mean, in my previous company, I had my assistant do my wires for me to payroll and this and that. And she would be in my office, use my phone and get the message and do it for me and all that. That's no longer going to be the norm moving forward. There are too many bad actors and too much information leakage from the people who are supposed to be able to do something through people who are have good intentions and who do their job, but too much information leakage. That's all going to change.
Indeed. Stacy, this is quite the education, as always. That's why I love having you on the show, because I feel my IQ just went up a few points after.
No, please.
So thank you for that. Any final
no
words
problem.
On this topic here? Because I think the next few months, next 3 to 6 months are just going to be unlike any other. In our time.
Yeah, it's just to simplify it. It's because of the pandemic that we've gone through, because of the last 3 months, the things that we thought could we do this? That would be great if we could. Now people are realizing, no, we have to do it to support our members, right? And support our account holders. And it's not just, and now they know the what is, I want to be able to converse like this with my banker. The what is, I want to be able to do these things digitally. I want to be able to ask for things that are complex questions to get my answers without it taking too much time. And the bankers say the what is, I want to provide that information without it being too expensive on us. All these different things that we're seeing now, the what everyone wants is pretty clear, right? Seamless, omni-channel, intelligent, secure. The how we do those things is what people are going to be answering over the next few months. How do I get this Zoom experience into my bank mm-hmm. or my credit union?
Yeah.
How do I get real-time payments tied into voice? How do I make sure I take advantage of these things so even with new accounts onboarding, I can do it via the voice system or via a video session, even with the, a video avatar chatbot, right? Yeah. How do we do those things so that it makes everyone happy? And that's really what it is about, making members and account holders happy and comfortable with you as an institution. Indeed. The what is pretty clear. It's in front of us. The how is over the next few months. That's the conversation.
That's what we're in for right now. Really exciting. All right, yep. Stacy, I'm going to let you go because you have a lot of how to be doing for the rest of us. So appreciate your time as always. This is great, great stuff. And let's chat again in another 3 or 4 months
right.
and see where we are. Cause I think again, it's going to be some pretty transformative stuff coming down the turnpike here for sure.
Thanks, Michael.
Appreciate it. Welcome, Stacy. Anytime, man. Take care. Be well, be safe. All right.
You too.